Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Yes, hello. Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning. It's 11:48.
Alternative view to the gentleman who was saying that we are waiting on trucks, but both with the garbage and water, some solutions here. I am saying that innovation, we don't need to wait on trucks for innovation. And I'm going to base this on research done in my household and other family members' household. During the time with the garbage crisis, I think we went as much as 4 to 5 weeks without a garbage collection. And it did not affect us. And let me say why it did not affect us. We started composting our vegetable matter. We were always doing separation of bottles and plastic and stuff, and then I would take them to Bees Recycling when the bags were full. And so I found that through that method, we had less garbage to put out into the garbage can. And so when it took a long time for the garbage truck to come, it didn't really affect us. What really affected us would be stuff that you kept in the freezer that you wouldn't really know when the truck was coming. So if you knew when the truck was coming, then you could put that out appropriately, right? So I'm saying that don't need for trucks. Secondly, you could use the private waste haulers in the method of educating and getting the public into separating the garbage and use the private waste haulers in the time being to collect the recyclables, the paper, the card, and such like. So they could do that part while the sanitation collects the garbage, right? And so that would, you know, balance out somewhere in there with waiting on trucks. So we don't necessarily need to have trucks. We need policy. I want to see policy put in place to deal with stuff like this. You know, we need to be separating our garbage. Whether or not they decide in the long run or the short term that they're going to go to waste energy, we still need to separate garbage. If we separate garbage, we would have less of this problem of garbage pileup. I'm saying to you that more than half, my garbage was cut to more than half by the separation and by composting. You know, then the other thing now is water. The solution that I have come upon in our household is to use water more than once. So the water that comes out of the washing machine is captured and put back to flush the toilet, wash the car, wash down the yard. This also has reduced our water bill dramatically. And I am hoping to be able to, at some point in time, to be able to use rainwater in the washing machine to even reduce it even more.
All right. Thank you very much for your view. This person says that the pileup of garbage that we are seeing has less to do with the absence of trucks than with the impasse relating to working on weekends and overtime. Now, there seems to be some merit in that. They want to know, where is Minister Jordan? Where is the Candy McDowell? Because basically, we have a de facto go slow. And as it was explained to him, if the workers work where the trucks collect two loads, it goes beyond the normal day's work. Therefore, the workers not having the benefit of overtime are making sure they do not work on going to that second load period. So that is really why it is absolutely necessary to get some kind of leadership and to come to some kind of understanding as to how you're going to deal with it, because the overtime was cut because of the BERT program. You remember that? And in all seriousness, the situation has worsened since then. So putting all the focus on the trucks and the absence of trucks, as far as I can see, is not entirely valid at all. And the person who makes that contribution, to my mind, is making a useful contribution. Now, let me also tell you something. There are a lot of people in Barbados who will ride piggyback on the contribution which has just been made by the caller about non-nationals. I stand firm in my view that one has to be exceedingly careful when you are sitting in a position such as this one, that you do not create an environment where you have people unfeared on the basis of mere rumor, speculation, and the absence of the facts that are necessary to support the conclusion which people arrive at. The world is full of scenarios over the years where minorities were treated badly in those circumstances, and I stand up against that. Those of you who don't like it, I am sorry, but that's the only way I know how to do it. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. I come back to the issue here of how we deal with the whole question of the squatter problem. Now, we began this program essentially by giving the view that the feedback that we are getting from quite a number of people has been less than favorable to the idea of the government giving grants or loans or whatever it is of $25,000 to people who have been squatting at Rock Hall and finding land for them. That is already a matter that incenses many people. If you can successfully now establish in the minds of a majority of Barbadians that most of the people who are going to be beneficiaries of this are non-Barbadians, then you go in the direction of creating even more resentment against the notion of the government doing what it proposes to do. If those are the facts, then we all have to abide by those facts and deal with them. But I think we need to establish them as facts first and foremost. It can't be hunch, and it cannot be based upon a reporter's suggestion or statement that a majority of the people, a majority of which people, a majority of the people that they spoke to, did they do a survey of the entire area? On that basis, I am not going to support coming to the conclusion that we already know for a fact just how many people are Barbadian or non-Barbadian. The most important point, though, and we shouldn't lose sight of this point at all, it is that it cannot be allowed to stand. Now, having said that, you get into a different debate over whether the government should or shouldn't assist those people who have decided that they are going to break the law and squat on the land and then turn to the government for assistance or have the government offer them assistance. So I, from where I sit, I am cautious on these matters for the reason that I have already explained to you. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello?
Yes. Hi.
Peace be on to you, Mr. Ellis.
How are you?
Many rivers to cross. Can't seem to find my way out. Our way out. I've been going to housing 30-something years. When I wasn't working, when I first started, I would go actually every week. Sometimes you stop there nearly almost a whole day. I call you going after 12, 1 o'clock to see an officer. I call the people there waiting to hear no. Then after then I start working, I would go like, when I'm off, and then I started every month. And I never got no way. I still want some place. And, you know, the people there in White Hill was begging for a long time. And they're paying rent, and some that have their own land. I guess they should be caught up in that, too. If they're looking for the people up by the airport, they should give the people there should put in blending White Hill, too.
Well, I think that I heard a speech by the Prime Minister in which, some time ago, she spoke generally about a need to, well, not just a need, that the government really is focused on a plan to look at areas, not just people who don't have housing, but those who are living in cramped conditions, because I remember a mention was made of places like Silver Hill and Gore Hill.
Yeah, you said that, yeah.
Right. So the hope. Point. Right, right. So the hope is to deal with this on a much bigger scale, and it can't be just the people who don't have house and land at the moment.
Mr. Ellis,
mm-hmm.
I can't even open my mouth to yarn. The flies, so much flies.
But we contribute to, but you know we contribute to that.
The dog.
It is not only the garbage not being picked up. You know how nasty people can be around here.
I say some, but you know I don't mean all.
But you know that there are a lot of Barbadians who do a lot of foolishness with the garbage.
Right.
There are people around here, you see them on the streets and stuff. We do more than our fair share in trying to keep Barbados nasty, you know.
That is true.
It's not only, but had it not been for the sanitation service workers.
Well, I always praise them, and that's why we complaining now, because if them don't come, something will happen. But yeah, but don't try to spite people, because they're just making it worse, and they got family out there, the rats running around, somebody might get electric spirosis, and even if you're clean, I got to be wiping down all the time, all the flies all out from my light bulb and thing, because the garbage, we have cans in my gap and in the district, my surrounding district, we spray, but everybody don't spray, like they got a open lot, I tell you already, in front of me, and every night, sometimes I got to go out there and run the dog, go all morning with J.F. Floyd, and cursing all to spray the things, but and the land in mind, the people don't even look in the back of there because they're living on the spot, but their yard pale, so they ain't coming out in the back. And it's hard for me, a sick person. I want something done. Please send a truck out in here. You don't care where you put, but you can't get up unless you cover down your food or anything, or when you come back, the carrying flies, then the sour flies. The folks picking out some person's garbage, the cat, the rat, and the dog, do something. Give us some help. You was talking about bees cycling, recycling thing when you told the gentleman that China ain't taking things. So if China ain't taking, they're bringing in televisions, they're bringing in all the equipment, they're bringing in cars and things. So what are you going to do now when these things...
Cell phones. You know how many cell phones you got around here to discuss?
What are we going to do then? Where we need to stop then importing them things from... If them are taken back, what belong to them?
But you recognize how serious the problem is, ma'am. This is a mounting challenge that the country faces. In the interim, we are looking at only one dimension to the problem. But it's a much bigger issue. And I don't know.
If the people now can't put the grass, some people just cut up the grass very fine and take and put it in there. If they can't do, I just compost mine. And as the gentleman say, I don't throw out no skins. I compost my skin. But the branches and things that I cut, I have a lime tree and fruit little crotons and things. I put mine to dry out. But now people that don't have no place to put certain things, what are you going to do? Even if they're going to let you pay the truck something, then to come for them, what's going to happen? And then everybody can't afford to pay. Look how many people come home. People just struggling. People can't even go buy chicken bats now because the chicken bats too expensive. Sausage was a thing for poor man. Some people can't even buy half pound. But there's certain things by half pound. No, they're putting them now in packages where you got to buy a certain amount. And if you don't have the money, what are you going to do? I don't know what's going to happen to us.
But people in the world suggest that you need to stop.
Many rivers to cross.
People in the world looking at where we are going and global warming recommend they eat less meat. You know that?
Well, if you need to get proteins, where you can get protein from the grass?
Legumes.
Peas?
Yeah.
Are you allergic to certain peas? Certain peas they can't eat.
Well, they didn't tell you don't eat meat at all.
They
didn't say don't eat any. Some of them say eat less. There are some people who say eat none at all. The international movement that I am witnessing is suggesting to us that we are going to have to look to eat less meat overall.
I hear something. I'm not sure. They say Mexico now doing something with them. I don't know if it's grasshoppers and some kind of worms and something else. No, they're trying to get these things now for human to eat. So we might have to do that. But there are certain peas they cannot use. I don't eat a lot of meat either because I was very ill the other year, so I have to think. But you still need to get protein.
Yes. Well, you got to talk to a nutritionist.
I was just going to reference the table that salt fish, and that was the poorest thing, salt fish and chicken butts people can't even afford to buy.
Hmm. Have you ever done things like lentil
yes,
peas
yes,
and that
I,
sort
I
of thing?
I cannot use the lentil. Some of those.
But there are other things that you can use.
My stomach.
But there are other things you can use.
Yes, I do, and I put my meat as I season up my cabbage and I do it in my own way, and the the spinach,
mm-hmm.
and those things I put. But you go outside and you see these people taking these things and put them on their food as like how we would put meat. So I does that. But
how
I'm
long have you been doing that? How long have you been doing that?
Well, quite a while, and since I was sick, I started to do it, and
you're shocked at how good it is?
Yeah, I put in, I get the cabbage and thing, and I put in my little, just like, you would do gravy, your onion, your garlic, your celery, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, your tomato, and your different little ingredients. I don't use these different seasoning. I would use cayenne pepper. But then just a little ketchup and a little butter, and I.
Now listen, I want you to teach my friend here, Dennis Johnson, how to do that.
Me? That gentleman. I had a sister. That gentleman. I highly respected that gentleman, but he my mouth full like my mother, my stepfather. He is scoring me. He know what to do. He can cook. He's a grenadier.
All right. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hello, welcome sir. To the program.
Yeah. There's something that you mentioned last week that mm-hmm. The issue that popped up. And I listened 2 weeks prior to that, hoping to hear if any person would jumpstart the issue with the gentleman in the House of Commerce. Then I hear that. I was furious. At
Why?
Level. No. If he's going to say what Barbados did, in accepting any person with a profession and bringing in context of what happened previously. And the fact remains is that they mentioned about the condition without and leave out one next condition that were prior to the pneumonia. Now, normally pneumonia comes with bronchitis, and I live in a house that had 2 people with bronchitis and pneumonia, and they come back to the hospital. I had one serious experience where that my mother coughed at 5:30. I went to the pharmacy, send out the pharmacy, get something. By 10 o'clock, when she get into the doctor's office, the doctor said, good luck that she's here. It's bronchitis. I said, so what? He said, listen, bronchitis can trigger into pneumonia in a short time.
Sir, I really am not a doctor, and you are right? not. You are not a doctor.
Yeah.
Neither am
I. Right.
And I can't get into those details.
No.
I don't think that your personal experience can in any way tell us what really happened in that particular case. All I am saying is that if you were looking at the other matter from the point of view of its impact on Barbados' image, and you spoke about that, how is it that you are so silent as a government on something of that magnitude that has gone on the floor of the House of Commons and has been reported in a major program in the United Kingdom? Don't you believe that that also has implications for the image of this country, especially in light of the fact that a tourist was involved?
That is what I will even stretch it further down in. Because we know how fast information travels, and we know to the extent damages that it can do to any person, to a country, or even to the nation of itself. So when you have people that, I watch it and I couldn't believe for 1 minute how a person could openly in the House of Commerce at a high level.
Because they had information on which they based the position that they took. Can't understand it. They felt that they had the information available to them, put them in a position to come to the conclusions that they reached.
Yeah, but without getting comforted?
Well, that is up to... All I can say to you is that the image of Barbados is at stake on this one. And it would be interesting to hear from the people who are involved in the tourism aspect of it, exactly what impact it has already had on them.
Nobody. I listen and listen. Most of the time I get a chance, I listen to the news. And no person, no person. I mean, it's all right to talk about air rifles. It's all right to talk about a lot of things. But there are there's a lot of issues that can damage the air rifle and departure and the taxes, whatever, until we get it to correct. You see that airport thing? When I hear that gentleman last week, as much as the other caller said, he said that already, honestly speaking. I listen and I haven't even tried to breathe too deep to stop myself from hearing. I get some information.
Dismiss that fellow who told you he's heard that already. You know what the difference was? He didn't hear it here. That's the difference.
Listen, that man have an extended knowledge. And not only that, he went right down into the technical concept of going to conferences, whereas the conversation actually being engaged, whereas not much people from Barbados even they were here on the other forum, but he actually was deeply involved with it. Okay. And I tell you, if it is interfering with the, if the governor, she's interfering with the radar, and as he said, they had to go on the radar system and did some blocking out so that it won't be an interference. If nobody don't get that part right, they will never get anything right. And to see that all along, people were saying, oh, air rifles, and nobody bring up that critical area where we can actually be denied of having all of the type of airlines landing at Grant Yadam Airport. We can say, oh, we have another arrival bringing 300 passengers airlift every week, forgetting that one technical area.
All right, sir. Thanks for calling. Down to brass tacks. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, Mr. Eddie. I just want to mention three quick points here. If, in connection with the garbage, the government is bringing in 12 garbage trucks, I am glad for that. Somebody asked the question, what 12 would do? That's a ridiculous question. They don't know if they're going to try to bring in 12 more next 3 months. But the government can give us a rundown. But that is a great improvement. We're just hoping that everything works out. We don't know how much a garbage truck costs. At least I don't know. So I think that is very good that if they can get 12.
But the discussion gone further than that, that the work to rulers was causing, exacerbating the problem?
Right. And also, as I said last week, people need to control their garbage and stop looking. That's when the lady just talked about a spot opposite her that people, that has a lot of garbage and flies. Because people are putting the garbage there rather than keeping it at home in some garbage drums. All right? So, I mean, we need to help ourselves in every way possible. I mean, India just had a shanty town burnt down. Those people have absolutely nowhere to live. We are so blessed and we don't know. All right, let me go on because I don't want to take. Bees Recycling, they said that they're waiting on the government to relocate them or give them an area or something like that. I'm hoping that it would be an area that is not downwind or upwind from persons. I'm just throwing out the suggestion that it could be nice if they would find somewhere where the, in case of a fire, all that black smoke that comes from garbage would be blown out to sea or something, either westerly or northerly area, something like that.
Okay. Thank you very much. It's now, 12:25. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good afternoon, Ms. Ellis.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yeah. Now, I have some problems with what is going on. Now, there's a gentleman called the Statsman. And I hear, Mr. Ellis, you say all the time, when you come to this station, come with facts, and etc. The Statsman has come and say things, and he's never questioned. Now, I heard the Statsman say to you not long that my nice Prime Minister David Thompson increased water rates by 60%, and you can't see nothing that was done for it. You remember that?
Tell me what you could see.
No. Is that true that you say, we knew it was 60% increase? Because my water rates moved from between 17 and 20 to 35. But in moderated with your years' experience, the same way it's cost me and cost other. You can tell Mr. Statsman, you know that's not true. And I tell him so, because I know that in the 80s, can't remember part of the 80s, I think it was under Tom Adams' time, we had a survey taken about the water mains in Barbados, somewhere around that time. And it was proven that 60% of the water goes back to the earth. You remember that survey?
Yeah, I recall.
Okay. There's an MP for St. Joseph, because those two MPs, the MP for St. Joseph and St. Andrew, they don't have to do anything. They just get re-elected. Because if you listen to them and listen to their support, they don't have to do nothing. It left the other people. Dale Marshall, in the early 90s, because I lived Barbados in 92, so it had to be before 92, but it was the 90s. Was complaining about the shortage of water in St. Joseph, and he was out of power at that time. He spent 14 years in government in the days when money was, as I was saying.
Is this your way of answering the comment that the man made? The man tell you that the water rates went up by 60% and there was nothing to show for it. And you know, backtracking now to other periods when there was nothing to show?
I get into the point.
Well, I can't believe this.
I get into the point to show. I'm getting to the point to let you understand, and other moderators, that don't only put pressure on certain callers. I am showing you that what he said there is foolishness.
Well, to truth be told, you still got some work to do, and you don't even have the time in which to do it because you haven't shown me a thing just yet. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We're going to the news next. This is Down to Brass Tacks, and do accept our apologies for that brief break in transmission there earlier. Let's take another call. It's now 12:45.
Hello?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
You're on the air.
Yeah, just to bring some to the conversation about Rock Hall.
Yes, you're speaking in what capacity?
Pardon?
In what capacity are you speaking?
As the MP for St. Philip's South.
Okay, this is Indar Weir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
The reality of the situation is that there are more Bajans living in Rock Hall than there are foreign nationals.
How many? Do you have a sense of how many more?
I have not yet finished compiling the information.
What's the preliminary information saying?
I want to clarify a couple of things. One, the information that the Prime Minister used was taken from a socioeconomic study that was done by the Ministry of Housing in 2007, I believe, around November. At the time, the majority of persons who were squatting at Rock Hall were Bajans. And so she is correct in saying that there were about 20%.
That was then.
Barbadian. That was then.
But that doesn't represent the situation today. And you say that some work is being done. But my difficulty is the same difficulty with the newspaper article I would have with what you are saying, which is the majority are. What does that constitute? How many people make up the majority? On what basis do you come to that conclusion?
You first of all, give me a chance to break down what is Rock Hall, because that's where the confusion is. Okay? Rock Hall is an area that was occupied by people who generally came from Genswick, Penny Hall, Rock Hall. It is not all dumped. And that is where people are confusing the issue. Okay, where the dump actually was, people started to move in there squatting. And there are squatters in and around the dump as well. Okay? We know that up until 2008, there were close to 200 people in total who were in the General Rock Hall area and who were in Rock Hall and attributed to what was causing the reflection issues at the airport. So the entire Rock Hall area would have been considered. The people who are now squatting on the dump itself would have increased the population at Rock Hall. The significant point to note in all of this is that many of the people who are Barbadians, who would have applied for housing solutions and land, are the people who found themselves there squatting because they can do no better. So when the Trinidadian lady made the point that there are several Barbadians who have been asking for help, it is those very Barbadians who have made their way squatting at Rock Hall because they couldn't find a solution. It is those same Barbadians that the Prime Minister is referring to when she made the point that those who are living below the poverty line will be given assistance. But those same people have houses. So the government is not necessarily providing houses. It's to find the solution in terms of relocating them on a house spot. Generally, a house spot is around 20, 25,000 for those types of allocations. The other people who are capable of paying for themselves are the ones that loans have been offered to, and they too have houses. The information that I'm compiling, it shows a certain demographic within Rock Hall. And there are people who work for something like $600 a month. A total household earning is $1,200. And in the study that was done back in 2007, there were great similarities. Those people who are, when combined, give you as much as $2,400 a month are people who can afford to take a loan. There are people who simply can't do any better and have called on various governments for help and would have made their way to Rock Hall until help comes. So to confuse the issue in suggesting that these are some sinister type of people who have taken it upon themselves, living well, earning good money, and choose to go and squat is wrong. And I will now speak to the issue of people who are non-national. There are several people who are non-nationals that I have found in Rock Hall, but are working for money on a what is called work and reside. So when we are talking about illegal aliens in Rock Hall, we got to be careful.
What is that term, work and reside?
Yes, work and reside.
What is that?
Meaning that they have permission to live in Barbados and work.
And okay, what percentage and of those people are involved? Out of the 300 or so that we are talking about?
It is still less non-national.
But you can't say how much less. That's.
I can't give you the accurate percentage when we are still compiling, because when you go there, people are not home. When you go there, people are out and about. I can't give you... Look, the most accurate we can give you is based on the last study that was done. But it would be erroneous to me to call a figure now when we haven't finished compiling the information. But based on what I have compiled, more than 70% are still Barbadian.
Okay, you say you are compiling it. You personally?
Yeah.
So
well, I have a team that I'm working with.
Pardon?
I have a team that I'm working with. Because it's within my constituency, I made it my business to find out what is going on there. And I also made it my business to make sure that we can find a suitable fit so that we can get the situation out there corrected. What I do not agree with is people making the point that these people are so sinister that they would seek to go and squat and don't care anything about the government or about other Barbadians. This is wrong.
Here's the rub. Here's the rub that can come at you.